All right, I'm going to call our meeting to order. It's 6 o'clock, straight up and down. At this time, before we have a public comments, I'm going to ask our council member Bob Noon to lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that's come here tonight, Lord. We thank you for blessing our community as you do, Lord. Just go with us tonight as we do the city's business. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, council member Bob. Public comments. I have three that have signed the paper that would like to speak. And I'm going to start with Ms. Kelly Mitchell, 200 Red Boulevard, Katy's, Kentucky.
Hey. Hello, I'm Kelly. I gave everybody the sheet. I've also texted everybody. So I don't know if there's any point in reading it over to you, but I can. But the main thing is that I'm against any annexation or tax exemption status for anybody that is running a for-profit in our city limits, period. Now, I do agree we do need housing. I'm not saying that at all, but not at the expense of the city taxpayer. And that's my main point. And like I said, I have it all outlined here. Do you want me to read it?
Yes.
All right.
That's your boss.
All right. First and foremost, tax exemptions for a for-profit developer is absolutely unacceptable. This company will not be investing in our community, and at best, their workers may spend a few dollars on a lunch in Trigg County. But the real profits will leave with the developer. No meaningful economic impact will stay here. So that would be with regards to, like, if it was a business being built or a factory that would employ people that would be spending their dollars here. We want to keep money here. We don't want it leaving. Second, I'm not sure if the developer has ever built anything to this scale or nature. I was told that they hadn't. There's no track record. And I bring that up because of the instance that we had when we built the farmer's market thing that kept falling down. We don't know. We don't know what we don't know, and we don't have any references. They were denied a tax exemption by the county. You can call Stan Humphreys if you want to know that information. It's unfair to the existing landlords and property owners in Katy. Landlords are investing in this community without any tax breaks, and why should we give that to somebody else? There's serious and costly infrastructure concerns with the risk of flooding, street maintenance due to increased traffic, water runoff, long-term strain on the city services, and it will all fall on the taxpayers. This is not just a one-time cost. It's a financial burden that could last for decades. And I believe it should be considered, at least, that you deny it. I know Dennis Thomas had told, and I believe he told you, of course, he's passed away now, but he did tell her that that land couldn't even be built on. Otherwise, he would have built on it. He would have developed it into a subdivision or apartments or whatever, and he did not do that. And there's also risk of the behind us on another strip of land that they did do a retention pond, tried to dig one, and instead we got a sinkhole. So I would say that is the same risk we're going to get into on the other side. And I can send y'all pictures. I printed y'all the ones, but I can send y'all better copies in a text message of the last flooding that we had and how that water lands and how it just completely floods that field. Did I send them to you, Todd?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know if I sent pictures.
Yes.
But it completely floods everywhere.
I got pictures from Stephanie.
You got some of her, right?
Okay, yeah, they were good pictures.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think I sent the rest of y'all because I was at the funeral home earlier. But anyway, but that's it. That's all I've got.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Miss Linda, 79 Street and Drive.
Okay, I guess I just want to amen everything you said. And if there's someone here that could tell me something different that could possibly change my mind, I'd like to hear it because I can't see that anything that she has said. What is your counter on that? Anybody have a counter?
I think it began, but we never decided anything for sure.
Okay.
Anyway, but I think it began because we agreed that we needed more housing, rental housing, and that's where it began. And that it was based on income, so that also was where it went through.
Okay. How many low-income houses units do we already have in Trick County, in Katy's?
They're all full.
Right, but
they're not all full. Sorry, somebody that's...
I sit on the Housing Authority Board, and they are not all full.
Is this the government housing?
Yes.
Okay. That, and which is different than what they're going to build here. And has, which I like, has more regulations than what they're going to have here, I think.
They do.
But other than that, I mean, there are people living in houses that they're renting. I shouldn't say that, but they're substandard. And it would be good if they had better housing. So I'm all about that we need more rental housing. I just don't know that this is the answer or not.
Right. To me, it doesn't seem like it would be the answer, especially on the property that we're talking about that floods. And I agree. If Dennis Thomas said it couldn't be built on, you all know and remember Dennis. I believe he would have done something with it had it been available, and he knew what he was doing. So again, I don't see any reason. And if it's going to cost the taxpayer, I mean, it's not affecting me personally because I don't live in near that area. But my tax dollars, it does affect it. And I don't think that we need anything else that's going to put a burden on the city as far as our taxes. I don't want any increase in it. All right.
Thank you, Ms. Linda. And I will say toward the end of the agenda, Mr. Tyler and Landon will be speaking about this project, okay? All right. Josh Adams, 185 Chastity Drive.
Josh Adams on Chastity Drive. Having previously served with you guys on the Planning and Zoning Committee, I understand, long term it is to try to bring more housing and more affordable housing into the area. However, part of our job at that time was to see that it was a fit for the area. So, I encourage everyone here to study that. If you look at the real estate that's in that area, it's probably somewhere around $5-6 million worth of homes. That most of these people, I'm kind of excluded from it. I'm behind it, but these are all my neighbors. So consider that. Consider the tax implications, all those things, before we make a decision on this. That's what I ask.
Thank you, Josh. That's everyone that signed up to speak as public comments. Does anybody else would like to speak?
I want to say just one thing.
Yes, sir.
Steve Collops, I'm on 167 Rep. And the other thing I was thinking is property values. Especially if it's going to be any kind of a lower income development and we're 100 feet away from it, that tends to affect people's property values. And I've been concerned about that. And the flooding. Main problems I have with it.
Right. All right. Thank you, Steve, for your input. Anyone else would like to speak?
They said they were going to build a pond. That was my understanding on the news.
A retention pond. They will speak on that later on on the agenda.
But a pond will only hold so much water. And when you get a 4-inch rain like we've got this year, one right after another, that water's going to go somewhere.
Right
in my back door, because I am right on it. I'm one of the houses that's right
in the dip.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I didn't put my name there.
You're fine.
It does bring up a good point, though. The city of Hopkinsville is having to deal with some issues right now on 100-year rain, 500-year rain totals, and they're having to deal with that. It's actually impacted their council member, I believe, is what I read last time. So
that's
whatever the data is that they're going off of right now, we got to see it firsthand how bad it can be. So. Whatever the data shows as an average, you've always got to take that worst-case scenario into consideration with this.
Thank you, Josh. Anyone else like to speak? All right. Okay, council members, approval of minutes. If I could have a motion or a second to approve our minutes.
So moved.
Todd Wallace made that motion. Craig Stiles has seconded that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any like sign, motion will carry. All right, our monthly reports, our expenditure report. I need a motion and a second on that also. Susan Henderson made that motion. Brenda Price has seconded it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any like sign, motion will carry. Police Department, Chief Tyler Thomas.
budget report of July 2025, which department investigated 9 criminal cases, 7 people were arrested. We responded to 275 calls for service, 36 traffic stops were made, and 25 citations issued at those stops. We answered 11 alarm calls to businesses within the city. We only investigated 4 collisions for the month. None of those collisions involved injury, so that is a kind of a record low, which I'm happy to say. In the month of July, the police department has filled the remaining school resource officer positions for the upcoming school year. Our new SROs are Mark Reed and Chris Greenfield. Both Reed and Greenfield are officers that come to us from other agencies, specifically wanting to work within our school system. Together, they possess decades of service in law enforcement capacity, both as school resource officers and patrol officers alike. Our hiring process is now coming down to just a few applicants. This past week, 4 applicants were sent to phase 1 of the POPS testing through the state of Kentucky. Once the results are in, this takes anywhere between 7 and 10 days. Phase 2 will be scheduled for 2 of the 4 applicants that we have positions remaining, narrowing that pool down to those 2 positions. We hope to have those positions filled by the end of August and get those 2 recruits academy dates as soon as possible. Of course, we are waiting on the results before we can give a conditional offer for employment. This upcoming month, with school starting, will undoubtedly generate several more calls for service for our department regarding traffic flow near the school. So I guess this is kind of a public service announcement to the general public. I personally am advising the public here that any impediment of the roadway on Main Street, Lafayette Street, that is unnecessary could end up in citations for impeding traffic or what have you. Businesses are being blocked. We get complaints from businesses. Their entrance way to businesses are blocked, so that affects the money flowing into those businesses and those complaints we get. Everything from Becky's Hair Salon all the way up past the Ideal Market, people parked on the side of the street. You don't have to be first. Between the first person and the last person, it's anywhere between 9 and 13 minutes. So the people showing up at 1:30 to get their kids, you're sitting on school property, you're having to be watched by our school resource officers, which takes their attention away from the school in itself to worry about other people that are coming onto the campus for an hour and a half or 2 hours just to be first in line. I think it's unnecessary. But that's my opinion. Leaving the house a few minutes earlier, those first couple weeks of school until everybody gets in a groove is recommended. Not letting your children off on Main Street from the high school in unapproved drop-off locations is highly encouraged. So don't do that, please.
Have they talked about rerouting that over there beside the Minute Mark?
I have not heard anything from the school board about that.
No. Maybe that was Becky who went to the school board for that situation.
I think that's a recommendation she made to the school board, but of course that's going to cost something right there, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay, thank you.
You may have any questions?
I was just thinking how's the best way for us to relay or to impress on the people about not stopping in the street.
We're going to start writing tickets and people.
That's how you do it.
That's
how you do it.
Yeah, that's right.
That is it for the month of July.
Thank you, Tom. Public Works, Craig Oakley.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of things, as I'm sure everyone's noticed. Our roof here at the City Hall building is under construction now. They're working on that. We have also started our right-of-way mowing on the bypass. They started on it Monday, and we're actually getting ready to make the turn at Blue Springs to start heading back towards the county line the other direction. We was able to get the culvert installed there at Dove Circle. At the White Dove subdivision, got that culvert installed and got the culvert replaced up on East Knoll Drive. Got it replaced as well. We are still, myself and Mr. Frank Williams, our engineer, we are still working on our I&I, trying to look for funding and whatnot to try to attack some of those I&I issues around our sewer system throughout the city. And we have also, and I believe Mr. Jack has gave y'all some paperwork on our, we need to run our bid in the paper for our engineering services that Mr. Timothy come and spoken with y'all last month, I believe, from Commonwealth Engineering. And we're going to need to run that in the paper as well for ad for an engineer.
So I need a motion second to allow that to happen.
I'll make a motion.
Bob Noah's made the motion. Susan Henderson, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And also we're going to have a roll call. Susan Bryant?
Yes.
Susan Henderson?
Yes, sir.
Todd Wallace? Craig Stallings?
Yes.
Brenda Price?
Yes.
Bob Noah?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Nothing on tourism. Parks and Rec is in the back of your book. Renaissance, Casey's still helping us out right now. And Casey has to go and be on paternity leave. I guess me and Jack's going to have to start decorating, all right? That is a joke, okay?
Amber Seister over at the police department is filling phone calls during the day for us in reference to Ham Fest. She's picking up some of the slack there on that.
Amber's doing a great job on that. Nothing on the farm.
Todd, quick question on Renaissance.
Yes, sir.
There was an expense in here on flooring at the Renaissance Center?
Yes, a couple months ago.
Okay.
Down there, we replaced the, we didn't replace it, we just put the flooring right on top of it.
Okay.
Yes. Need to be done badly.
Absolutely.
Yes. Hospital report.
We just had a quick Zoom meeting. We did some credentialing for some providers, and then we changed a few procedures to stay HIPAA compliant.
That was it. All right. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to our city administration officer, Jack.
I've got lots of stuff on there for you this month, unfortunately. Some of it you don't want to hear, but it is what it is. We've been collaborating a lot more closely with the department heads, with the city, trying to get some things together and putting more eyes on different problems. The department heads have been working really well together. I've been actually impressed with the collaboration there between them. They were tasked with 1 and 2 year plans. We didn't go out past the 2 years because I can't yet do a 5 year plan at City Hall yet. I don't have my feet wet enough. So I did not ask that of them. We have a lot of little things that we need to work on, which we'll talk about again here in a minute. Getting everybody in on the budget process has proved to be very beneficial and worth every ounce of effort we put into it. Just so the council is aware, our budget has been screwed up in the Alliance system, which is the software that we use to manage our budget. It has not, the budgets have not been closed out since Brian A. Hart was the city clerk. That has thrown our numbers off. We are working on it. We've rectified it. We've closed the budgets out between 2019 and 2024 in the past month. We're going to continue to work on it. And the reason we found it was because the budget that you all had approved in your last ordinance did not match the numbers in Alliance, and it was one of the department heads that initially caught it. Not me, not my finance director, one of the department heads, and it's because we're all working at it. So the accountability is obviously working out, and we're seeing some results from it. And just on that note, I would just like to publicly commend the department heads and how well they've been doing through these changes, because I've been throwing a lot at them. KLC is going to be redoing our employee handbook. We are about 2 years out of date. They recommend that being done every 4 years. We're at year 6. It'll be year 7 before it's complete. The mayor signed the contract on that earlier this week, I guess possibly yesterday. The cost on that's about $9,600, which is at a reduced price because we are KLC members, which is, the base price is $15,000. So, it's not that bad. Having reviewed KLC's last insurance inspections that they did for the city and for the police department in January of this year, completing the employee handbook gives us a lot of points on those inspections. I've talked to Ben Cook, who's basically our inspector for the city. If we will make that change and make some minor changes, he's willing to come back and hopefully get it done before March of next year when our premiums get updated again. What I'm looking at on those lists are the things that take a little effort and are at no cost or low cost to the city to get done, such as establishing a safety committee. I'm just going to roll the department heads into an established safety committee, and when we have our department head meetings at the beginning of the month, we will take care of that business then. If we meet those points, we could potentially add another 6% off of our premiums starting in March of next year. So if there's some funny things going on while we're doing things, as far as safety goes, that's why. With the rates we're paying, 6% would be about $10,000 a year, which would justify the cost of this employment handbook upgrade the first year. So those things are going on. I've got the department heads doing organizational charts, new job descriptions, policy updates. If y'all have policy concerns as far as personnel goes and city policy, please let us know in this process. KLC attorneys will be here to address council at some point as far as the changes go. So if you want something changed, we see something done differently, now's the time to speak up so we can get those added into the policy handbook, which we hope KLC is going to stand behind those policy handbooks for 4 years as far as legality goes. So if we need changes because the laws change, they'll take care of that for us. So that's included in that price. Training. So many of you know I went to the KMCA training, which is part of my city clerk week before last, put on by KLC. It was very good. So the mayor approved me to take a class through Austin Peay State University beginning last year. It's a graduate certificate in grant writing. I completed that. Kept my 4.0 GPA. Your program cost, which what the city is out, is $5,703.30. The reason I find that important is because since I started that class, we started initiating more grant pursuits. And in that time, I have had the city awarded $15,900. So I'm just short of tripling your money in the last 6 months. And I still have outstanding grants pending in the amount of just shy of $54,000. Question. Next thing on the agenda is the sewer.
I have a question.
Yes,
I'm sorry. On this handbook, employee handbook, uh-huh. At what point do you want our input?
I don't know when I will see any results from them, but at any time, if you've got recommendations, I will take notes and stick them in my notebook to make those adjustments, because they have in their contract at least two site visits included in that. In addition, they also have additional training that we can pay for. It's an additional cost. And what that additional training is there's two meetings. One's for employees, the other is for supervisors. To have both classes, right now preliminary number is about $1,000, but we get the education and they maintain the records for their classes, and we're across the board. There's no question about what was delivered or what was taught on it. And for two classes and $1,000 and have a couple attorneys get the classes over maybe a 2-day period, I think we'll be in good shape. But that will be an additional cost later on. But the meeting with the council is supposed to be included in that initial contract.
Okay. So just let you know.
Just let me know. We can add to it, because I'm already starting to make notes. I know people have highlighted some things that are not in the old employee handbook because the laws have changed and recommendations have changed over time. It's just a matter of what you all want, what you're willing to approve, and what the mayor wants to back up on the personnel end. The sewer infrastructure. This one has been a big one. Two things that have come up is our infrastructure is in dire straits in some areas. The fire department's in bad shape. You already know about the sewer plant. We need a street sweeper badly, and that's about $250,000 of where I don't know that where that money comes from. My recommendation, I put it in there, you can tell me no, is to implement a sewer user fee with current clients that are paying for sewer service. What the sewer fee allows us to do is it's very restrictive by state law. It has to go into a separate account, and it has to cover reasonable costs of the service. So we have about 1,300 sewer customers right now, and at $5 a piece, $5 a month would generate about $5 a month will generate about $5,000 a month. Let me say too many numbers.
Is that put on with the water bill?
It would be put on the water bill, because the issue that we have is that ad valorem tax money cannot be used to pay for utilities. It makes it that much more difficult to find revenue for.
So it would be a different line.
It would be so different, you would have to isolate it and dictate precisely what that money's for. So even if it were a matter of, we want to use this, the money from this user fee to be directed strictly at sewer upgrades, those type of things, that would give you two things. One, you would have funds to draw from to start replacing these pumps that are going bad. I mean, Craig has band-aided everything well beyond what I would call reasonable. It's still working, but it's hanging on by a thread on some of it. Even the sewer pipes, the old clay pipes, are giving up. They're going to have to be replaced. So even the bid from like Commonwealth Engineers, when they're pursuing the grants, they're going to want the need. We have the need. Two things we don't have is an explanation as to what we're doing now to address the need, and two, what's the sustainability? If we get a grant from somebody, then we're going to know, when my money runs out, how are you going to keep it going? Well, we can use this until we're stable. It gives us an option, something to point to. But once it's done, that user fee can be dropped off. That's up to council's discretion. If you put it on, it can come off. But there's a but. By state law, once those upgrades and that specific use for that user fee is accomplished, we get us a new sewer plant, all the pipes are good, all the pumps are good, we can't take any more money. We can only take what is reasonable for those expenses. And once those expenses are gone, we can't collect on it anymore. So if it comes up like, hey, we need money for the water department, nope. You can set up another user fee, but that one has to go away. If there's no use for it, it has to go away. So that's my two cents. It's a recommendation over the past month in this position. It's about the only thing that I can point to say we need a shade tree is what it boils down to. We have to have a shade tree. The best time to plant a shade tree is 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a shade tree is today. When that user fund builds up, you can point to that as in-kind donations or in-kind funds for any grants that you apply for. We have X amount of dollars built up. We have X amount of dollars to direct towards this project. And with the user fee, KRS is strict enough that you can't use it for anything else. On the next option is because of some of the other infrastructure issues that we have. We are in a state to maintain right now. Growth is currently out of the question. We need to maintain and keep what we've got. I don't know how many are aware of it. Craig had some underspent money in last year's budget. When I came in, it was at the end of that budget year. What did we end up getting, Jill? What would you end up getting? We picked up another mower so we could quit making Band-Aids on the mowers. We directed that unused money for a mower. And he still had extra. So we took another $20,000 and put it at the fire department because they lost about $20,000 worth of fire hose and their generator was completely shot. So if the power went out, our radio tower and everything quit working. So we directed those funds to fix it. No more Band-Aids. We got new hose and new generator. With the department heads having more oversight and eyeballs on the budget, hopefully we can do more of that in the future. We can direct it where it's needed. However, you will have an opportunity on the compensating tax rate coming up. I know nobody wants to hear it. It's probably time to take the 4%. Pick which one you want, small, medium, or large. If we want the small one or the medium to work off the city, fine, no problems. Let's take the 4% and whatever the difference is, let's put it towards capital improvements. It's time. The money's not there to grow when we need to maintain. The fire department apparently had an inspection here a couple months ago. They downgraded their service, which could potentially mean that property owners are going to have higher insurance costs because the fire department is no longer able to meet some of the demands that the insurance companies may want for homeowners insurance. And we can't have that. It's just been too long. It's been pushed off to the side too long that it's a lot of little things that's adding up to a lot of money, unfortunately. I kind of added in there on that last one the key consideration for grant applications, just so you have an idea where I'm coming from. You don't have to do these things to file for grants by any shape, form, or fashion. However, if you want to be competitive for the grants, you probably do. You need to show that there's some action and forward momentum going towards whatever projects we deem need to be taken care of to size up and shore up the city's infrastructure and provide an opportunity for growth in the future. Any questions? Because that's all I've got. I'm sorry it's so long-winded.
Yes, sir, Jim.
Is there any way that you can increase the number of sewer users, Mr. Langenfelder? I mean, only 1,300, that's a start, but...
It is a start.
Is that just by the implication of...
It's a catch-22. We have so many needs that are going to cost money. We could, if those out in the county that are already on like city water wanted to connect to sewer, it may be an option, but I still got to build the infrastructure out to it. And where's that money come from?
Well, yeah. And you've already got a sewer system that can barely handle what we've got.
Right.
And which is adding more users might not be the right
now. But I mean, for the funds, I mean, I live in the county way out there, and you know, if I pay another $5 to help out the city, I mean, that's good, isn't it?
It could be, but when it comes from a tax standpoint, those ad valorem taxes or property taxes are not subject to any utilities. Mr. Wilson, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but that's my understanding, is we can't collect property taxes and divert them to utilities like that, correct?
Property taxes, that comes into the general fund.
General fund versus, because the utility is separate from the city. The city has two sides, the city side and the utility side, water and sewer side.
Oh, really? Oh.
Which is one of the reasons we have a hard time picking out where those funds come from. As far as any other user fees, like this particular user fee, our ordinance already allows for it. It is legal. The question I would have for any other options is legality. Even if we were to do a blanket, I would question if we tried to do a blanket capital improvements user fee on all water, if that's really fair. Because, I mean, if you're out in the county and you're getting water from the city and not hooked up to the sewer, and I'm telling you, I can't hook you up to the sewer, is that really fair? So if there's another idea, I'm absolutely open to it. I'm trying to abide what the law allows and what in all is fair.
Well, I pay school tax, but I'm not, I don't have any kids.
I don't have any control over school tax.
I don't mind paying school tax. I mean, I love the kids, but pay it anyway.
So. If somebody has another idea, I am more than happy to delve into it.
So, Jack, are you asking for us to vote on this 4%?
I am. No. So when it comes to the compensating rate, I talked to Lauren Fowler yesterday. The state has pulled her certification of her numbers. Apparently there's a mistake on the state's end, which has now pushed her deadline out to probably the middle of September. So as far as us doing the compensating tax rates, I don't know if we'll be able to meet our state deadlines. If it's the state's fault, I'm going to push it back on the state. That's why we're not meeting the deadline. There's nothing else I can do until those numbers are certified. I've got nothing to address and nothing to put in front of you. Because if I did, I would be telling you the difference between the lowest and the 4% is going to net us $20,000 or $40,000, whatever it is, so you could have a better informed decision, but I'm not even there yet.
What about the sewer fee? Do you want us to make a decision on that?
That is up to you all. It is my idea, and it's about the only thing I'm coming up with. If y'all are good with it, that's y'all's job. I have opinions and no votes.
Well, I know not long ago we did the water rate.
And I know the rates are going up.
And we're doing that yearly. But I know in talking to Craig, that's not enough to do anything. Even whenever you put all that together, that's not going to take care of any problems.
But anything we do, we should have started 10 years ago.
Right.
But
so this sewer fee is something that we can collect on.
We can't
collect on. It's going to be a flat rate.
It's not going to be?
It would be, if you get a bill that says sewer, you get an additional $5 tacked on it. And y'all can do it however you want. I was really kind of hoping the fee could be lower than that. But even still, if we were to set it in that separate account and not touch it, and everybody pays their sewer bills, and I'm sure y'all know about utility bills, you're talking $60,000 a year. If we were to go up in front of a grantor looking for money, I would say $250,000 is what you need to be looking at, at a minimum. And whenever Frank comes up there, Frank can probably get you better information on that, or even one of the guys from Commonwealth engineers that are doing those big grants. But
I know the money's got to come from somewhere. Yeah.
It's
not there.
Yeah, and $5 is far more than I really wanted to put. And you can put whatever you want to. That's
going to make a difference.
It is. And if you want to separate it between residential and commercial and do something different, by all means. But $5 a month per sewer customer, it will get you about $5,000 a month, is what I can tell so far.
And is that done for an ordinance adoption?
That's actually what I was just looking at. So Chapter 91A does not require it to be done through an ordinance.
Just need a vote.
Mm-hmm. Would it be better to look at a different rate for residential and different rate for...
Maybe more for the commercial?
Commercial.
Is that something you looked at, Jay?
Well, do we know what the breakdown is in the 1,300 users?
Yes. So what I have is 1,092 residential customers, and I have 213 marked as all others. So all others includes commercial. It also includes churches and pretty much anything else. I dare say like the school is included in that as well. So how you want to break that down, I don't know.
Is it true that those 213 are already paying a slightly higher sewer fee?
I don't know. I don't know. Because it may be, but like the churches, they may be somewhat exempt because they may be paying. No, they may be.
I pay the bill at my church. We're paying a slightly higher sewer bill because we are a business of some sort.
So it's bigger? Because my question would be like, are they paying the minimums because they're only open, five or six hours a week? I can see that being an issue versus McDonald's. Yeah. That's got customers flowing in and out 60 hours.
I talked to Susan about this, and she informed me that those folks that are commercial are paying a slightly higher.
Right. And it would be the same way with water, but I don't know if the churches are paying commercial rate residential. I don't know.
So what's y'all's thoughts, Council?
I guess my thought is it's easier for a business to pay $5 than it is for an individual. So what you want to do it to where you did more on the business and less on the individual, and I don't know how you'd break that down to the same amount of money.
Well, it's the 80-20 rule here, right? You got 20% of businesses, you're going to have to charge them $50 more a piece, if you're going to try to get anywhere in that same ballpark of money.
And there's just not enough numbers there to make it up. That's why I went with the $5 across the board, because 200 customers is not, really not enough. If you want to double, that seems really excessive to me. But that's my opinion. And that's the way I perceive it.
It's not going to affect it that much.
No, it's not going to make much difference.
Could you do $7 for businesses?
It's whatever you all want to do. We can run those numbers. But like I said, $5 was really more than I wanted to pursue.
Oh, me too. I don't want to do it either at all.
I don't know any other way.
But I know our sewer system.
And that's just it. $2,500 a month is not going to do it.
No.
It's just not.
That little water increase that we did is not enough to do what we need to do.
Right.
Something in like $5 for resident. Can we do one rate for resident and then one rate for business?
For all others, yeah. We can do that. I tried to break them down that way. And I left it at all others because there's several different categories and difficult to keep track of.
Well, I don't know how. I mean, I know we're going to have to do something. But I have to disagree about that $5 is easier for a business to pay than for an individual. I know we're all on, I am too, we're all on fixed income, but small businesses, which we have here, $5 is maybe more than it is to other people that live here. I know my daughter has a small business in Paducah, and she barely can get through, you know, and add anything. I'm not saying we shouldn't add anything. I don't know if it should be more or not.
You think it's $5 across the board?
And you said that ain't going to generate, what, $25?
No, $5, $5 a month across the board to get you about $5,000 a month, roughly. It really seemed like, but it'll
show our effort, right?
It's like any other investment. It's more about the time than it is the money.
And it's just used for the...
We can set it aside and be specific for sewer needs, upgrades, repairs, that type of thing.
Matching, grant matching.
Not even the match per se. It would be an option. You could let it grow and use it as potential match. Or you can start marking down little things like, hey, what are you doing? We're replacing 3 pumps this year. We've got so many feet of sewer line being replaced. It's whatever you want to dictate it towards. It's just showing effort to remedy the problem. And that's not guaranteeing any grants. That's just trying to make it more competitive.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, this is my thinking. People's having a hard enough time to live anyway, okay? I'm going to be perfectly honest with everybody. I think for right now, we'll do $5 across the board, and then maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, we come back, revamp it.
Well, that's just my opinion. I mean, once that's done and we get more in a better place, we can take it away.
Right. It,
that's what
it is. Like, it can be temporary. Yeah. The question is temporary 5 years or is temporary 30 years?
But we don't have that answer.
But once you don't need that money anymore for that those reasons, it's got to go away. Because you can't use it for anything else.
So under that same thing, can you do the 5 now and then amend it 2 years later and just add to it?
You can add to it, you can take it away. Whatever revenue you generate has to be at a reasonable cost for the anticipated use.
Okay. Well, I'll be the bad person that makes the thing because, like Todd said, everybody's, you know, in a bind. Groceries are high, utilities are high, vehicles are high, gas is high. But I know we need to have this done. I mean, it's just it's right here at us. So I'm going to make that motion that we do $5 across the board.
I'll be the second one, and I'll second it.
Susan,
not because I want to.
Second that.
Me either.
All in
me
favor,
either.
Say aye.
Aye.
We're going to have a roll call. So Ms.
Yes.
Bryant, Ms. Hendricks,
yes.
Todd Wallace,
yes.
Craig Stout,
yes.
Brenda Price,
yes.
Bob Noah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you all. All right. The next is Darren Hummel with Small Business Administration. I don't think he's here tonight. Okay. The next on the agenda is the Melora Development, Ty and Landon. You may have the floor.
It's all pin over here. Don't like looking people in the back. With my back spin. I'm Landon with Melora Development. So I want to go through and address everyone's concerns individually, if that's okay. If you have any more, just feel free to ask as long as that's appealing.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Fine.
Okay. So, Kelly, I didn't catch your last name. My fault.
Mitchell.
Your first was you're against developer incentive. Let me give you a little recap. And that's okay. Like, someone asked me to get to address the concern, so that's what I'd like to do. If you don't want it, and you're never going to want it, then your decision's made up. And there's nothing that I can say that would change your mind. The biggest thing that I've learned, I've been doing this 20 years. I've built over 800 apartments throughout Western Kentucky. I think somebody said that I didn't have any experience. That is incorrect. What I do not have experience with is this particular style of apartments. So this is a low-income housing tax credit or affordable housing. And what that means is that is income capped. So you can only make so much money in order to live there, but you have to make enough to be able to pay the rent. So I didn't catch your name.
Stephanie.
You work with the HUD
program.
Okay. Completely different program, as
correct.
I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
This is kind of the intermediary between the two. You know, HUD is where people really need that and can't afford it. And so it's a government-assisted program.
Right.
This is in between. This is more like rent capped. So, Ty, what's the income bracket here for a one-bedroom, two-bedroom, three-bedroom?
So it's based on the number of individuals living in the house. I'm tight, by the way. So it's $36,000 for one person, goes up to about $42,000 for two people living in the household. Three goes up about $48,000, $54,000. It's about $6,000 increments per person that gets added to the household.
So this is maybe workforce housing, not free housing for anybody else. They have to be able to afford the rent. And most of the time, most of your entry-level teachers, your firefighters, your police officers, they all fall into that category. So I'll give you an idea. You know, the reason that we chose Katie's was honestly because we have apartment complexes and market rent almost in every surrounding county from Murray. We're from Murray. We're not from out of state. There's only about five different developers in the entire state of Kentucky that do this program because it's so complicated and hard to do. We have been building in Hopkinsville for the last 2 years, and we've got 132-unit development over there that's market rent. That's primarily what we do. As we're driving through, I'm like, why can't I build in Katie's? So we started looking for a market rent place to do in Katie's. The problem is over here, honestly, I can't build market rent because I can't get the rents high enough to afford to be able to build a new complex. So what, and this is one of the, really the pilot for the whole entire project that we built a business off of. We saw the need here. So I'm not sure you said there's not a need here. You guys have a massive need here. And you have a massive need for this product. Now, you may not like the location of it. We can talk to that in just a second, but you do have a need. Incentives for developers. I'm probably the most conservative person you'll ever meet in your entire life. I'm not for incentives for developers or for corporate people. But I will tell you this, what I've learned in this program is it doesn't work without it. It just doesn't work without it. When you're doing capital improvements and infrastructure like we're doing, you know, we're spending $160,000 on extending sewer line, and what we're asking for is to get reimbursed for $120,000 of that over the next 10 years. So we're spending $160,000 on improving and adding to the city's existing infrastructure, and that's what we're asking for now. Denied by Stan Humphries. That's not correct, ma'am. We did not... if he said that, like he didn't, we talked to him once, twice, about what we might be able to do, and we just honestly never pursued it because we couldn't figure out a way to make it work. Do we need that? Yes. So, one of the reasons that we need city support is not only that, it's a scoring thing. So, it's not all just about the money, it's about showing that the city wants this project and is willing to invest in this project. These are federal funds that are administered by the state of Kentucky that we're competing with developers across the state. There's only a limited amount of funds, and other counties are getting them. Hopkinsville is getting them. Paducah's getting them. Murray's getting them. Katie's hasn't gotten them since Emma's Rose project that was done 5 years ago. What you don't have is you have no apartments for a family. You can't find a place to rent in Hopkinsville. We checked with the housing. Because we actually have to do a market study, so we had to pay for a market study. We were told, not only us, but our market study people that we had to do this for the state, were told that you all had no vacancy when they called. Well, I mean, I'm just telling you, what we were told.
I also talked to my director, and she said that you did call, and so I was aware of that also.
Yeah, yes. Ty actually called.
Yeah. Yeah. So she did not share that information, yes.
Okay.
I don't think any of us disagree about the need for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
What we disagree on is putting it in an already established neighborhood.
Yes, ma'am.
And not having any impact studies to look at to determine, like, what's the impact going to be in terms of infrastructure, our neighborhood that has an established character, it's quiet.
Sure.
Those are the kinds of things that we're
I'm sorry.
Picked the wrong cornfield.
Yep. Yeah. It's, and I understand that. And there's nothing that I'm going to go do tonight to say. But here's what I would tell you. That most of the time when I've done this before and I've stood in front of many people, most of the time the fear is of the unknown. And it's not the product of what's actually going to be there. It's actually you don't know and you're worried that you're scared of what might be. And so obviously people go to the worst possible thing in the world. So what we can talk about is flooding. And somebody asked about a pond. So every project we do has to have engineered detention basin, and they're going to look at that floodplain. We're going to have to hold back water. It has to be designed to a 100-year floodplain. So every event, ma'am, I think you spoke about a 4-inch rain. It's like there's 3 a year now. So what these are designed for now is they're designing for a 100-year floodplain, which is way above what most thing gets, even though we're getting 3 of those a year. I see you shaking your head.
And we're getting 400 a year.
So here's what I would say. There's a big portion of that, and somebody said this is a large. This is only 38 apartments. That is not a very big development at all. It's actually probably one of the smallest developments that the state of Kentucky would even allow for this program. In a 38-unit development, it's only going on 5 acres. So I heard back, Denny Thomas and the land could be built on it. That is not incorrect. The bulk majority of that land can never be built on. There's about a 5-acre piece that can be built on. And it's a weird shape. As you can see, I don't know if you've seen the site plans or any plans or anything. It's a weird shape. And so most typical development couldn't go there, anything other than probably this site. Circling back to the flooding, we're going to have an additional 8 acres that we're not doing anything with that's in a floodplain that has really very nothing value. If while we're doing this project, we can do some sort of this structure and have it engineered, and if the city engineer Frank Williams will help us with that, we will be happy to try to figure out something that might help you guys.
What happens when you dig that hole or the pond and it becomes another sinkhole like it did? That's our issue. It's because we were not in a floodplain until somebody tried to dig a retention pond. And then it opened up into a sinkhole. I've got pictures of all that too, which you probably don't know. But I like to ride around when it floods.
Sure.
So I take pictures of everything. And I have detailed pictures of that street.
You know, on that stuff, we would just have to really confer with an engineer. I don't know. But I'm willing to try to help make it better.
Right.
That's what I would say. That's the only thing I can tell you is that I don't know. But if it can be made better, I'm willing to donate the land to the cause to help make it better.
There's other land that can be that better suited for what you're wanting than just that land.
I'm sure there's always, and again, I don't mean to be like disrespectful. It's an R1 zoning, R2 zoning. So anywhere, either one of those zonings, if you were in the city of Katy's, we could build this on. It's really not a very dense development compared to, I know it may seem that way to you all, but truthfully, it's really not a very dense development. And so what we're building would either fit in either one of the zoning classifications, I believe, in the city of Katy's zoning ordinance. Going to Josh, your concerns about, you don't believe it's a 50 acre. In most every zoning or zoning map in anywhere or future planning, they try to go from residential to medium density residential to business or industrial or commercial. And so they try to, if you imagine a circle, they try to layer those in that area. So to your point, like it really does fit most zoning plans or future land use plans where you have a lower use with a medium density residential, and then you go to a commercial or a business use, which is directly across the street from this. What is there
street? Directly across the street.
Directly, we've got storage units.
Storage units.
And electric companies and things like that. There's lots of businesses on the adjoining across the street.
Off of Commerce.
So to say this, like, it's not, there's not going to be any traffic impact to your neighborhood. There's not going to be anybody through there. Look, I get y'all don't want this. I understand it. And if there's any questions, anything we can do, here's what I would say. Like, please, like, we'll be happy to talk with you about it, to work with you through it. But if there's nothing that I can say, like,
you said something about bringing in or trying to get back potentially money that you're going to invest into the city sewer
infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Yes, sir.
It's in regard to the sewer.
Yes, sir.
Okay, can I ask, what would the charge be on that, since we were just talking about it? Would that be an extra $25, or is that something additional?
You mean as far as an additional user fee?
Yeah.
Well, what they're wanting to pass, it would be another $5, because it would be for
$5 going to outweigh the amount of use that's going to be put into our system that's already strained.
So that would be 5 times 38.
But, again, we're talking about how we're in shortcoming right now, and our infrastructure is failing.
That's more of it.
Can we just
Yes,
ask questions.
Absolutely.
Or have questions about your proposal to the city council, what you're asking for, just so we're clear on what the request is. Because I think, you know, you came last month and you talked about tax abatement.
That was their request.
Yes, but yes. It's not abatement.
It's incentive.
Thank you. Just trying to make sure I get the right words here. Now in the memo that you've submitted, there's the cost of the additional sewer extension.
Yes.
So we didn't talk about last time. So I just want to make sure we're clear on what we're
considering. So what we learned, which I had not ever asked for an incentive like that before either. So what we learned from Mr. Wilson was that wasn't legal how we were asking for it. And so with researching and how other cities and communities have done this, we learned how we basically just copied their incentive policies and submitted it to them, Mr. Wilson, which basically...
Excuse me, can we just have a little bit of respect for the speaker, Steve? Others? Thanks.
So what we did was we looked at where what other cities do. So we looked at Hopkinsville, Paducah, different areas, and we just basically used their estimate, and it fits into the incentive ordinance that the city of Katy already has. Is that correct?
So I reviewed it for legality.
Okay.
So it was initially not legal.
Correct.
But requesting it as a direct expenditure for reimbursement of public portions of the project is a legal expenditure. Is that your...
Yes, what I'm trying to... Okay. Yeah.
So to kind of speak to what Todd's saying, and I'll spend the book here. So Todd, I think kind of what you're asking is if, you know, because last month we were talking about just straight tax abatement,
yeah,
which we found did not comply with the state of Kentucky's ordinances. And so we restructured it. We restructured our request essentially to be a reimbursement of the infrastructure installation costs that we're going to put into the city sewer system. And so we estimate, and we confirmed with Frank Williams, he had a similar cost estimate of around $160,000 of installation costs. And so we propose that each year we're going to pay city real estate taxes. We approximate that to be between $11,000 and $12,000. And so we propose that we get reimbursed for those installation costs up to the amount of property taxes that you all collect from our development for 10 years. So, you know, last month we had talked about the 15 years. I think it was pretty clear, like, nobody was really happy about that. And you thought 10 years is much more reasonable, so we modified that request to be on that 10-year scale and then also restructured it to highlight the value that we're going to be bringing to the city infrastructure.
So it's essentially a payback for your investment in the sewer extension.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Rather than just a straight tax abatement.
No tax abatement.
That's the core incentive. You'll notice we did include an ad in there, the waiver, 100% waiver of sewer tap fees and water tap fees. And I want to speak to those maximum amounts that I included in there. So that we discussed with Craig these amounts. And so on the sewer tap fees, kind of Landon's experience has been that usually a lot of municipalities charge per unit rather than per tap that's on the building, because each building's likely going to have one tap. And so that $22,000 number, that's based on that. That's just a maximum number. Craig, I believe, said that he thinks it's going to be charged per tap, which is going to approximate about $4,200 to what we discussed. And then the water tap fees, the $12,000 number is about right on what Craig had.
I believe you said possibly four buildings. So it'd be four water meters, four sewer taps.
Yeah, so what we're actually going to have, seven buildings.
Meters, it'd be four meters.
So it'd be $4,200 per one for four, correct?
Now that was the total. $4,200 was the total, right? And it $600 or $700 per tap.
I don't have those.
And it depends on what tap and things like. There's a lot of variables into what size. Because if we decide that if an engineer decides that it may be better to have a 4-inch tap, well, you'd have to just figure out how to do that and what that might cost versus whether we have 4 2-inch taps or vice versa. So engineers and architects figure all that out. to be honest with you, like. But that's why we just set a maximum.
In your proposal, it says sewer tap fee is not to exceed the 26.6, and water tap fee is not to exceed the 12.5. So it's somewhere in those.
Right, and we think that that's based on the per unit or per tap fee being on the 38 units, but as Craig just said, it's actually going to be per tap, which there's seven apartment buildings.
So less than these numbers.
Yeah, less than those numbers. The water tap, I believe, was correct. It's based on the actual cost of the installation. And so I think whenever Craig and I spoke before, it was going to approximate the $12,000 amount. And then as far as the local plan review fees, builder's permits, we think as big of a project as this is, it's probably going to be at the state level, so that's probably going to be irrelevant, but we just threw them in there, and that's why we put in there if applicable.
Where would you be able to talk to
them? We built off of Bay Road, over behind Hucks, in the football stadium.
It's called the Flats.
Flats.
Okay.
Brandon.
The Flats. Brandon. Yeah.
Yes.
Any more questions?
I'm in a dilemma, as I know you all are with yours. And one thing is, I do believe we need some apartments, some housing. True. But my other is, you all bought your houses where you did and expected that community or neighborhood to remain the same. I do too, where I live. And so that's my dilemma. I understand that. And I also believe that we do need housing. Now, whether we can do it elsewhere or there, I don't know. But the pictures that you gave that showed all the flooding this past year over all the streets that are going to be right next to this building is a lot. I mean, it's close to getting in their houses. And I don't have any reason to believe that we're going to get less rain. I don't think unless we do something to change our environment and the things that we do, I don't believe it's going to get better. And I hope I'm wrong, but that's just the way I feel about it. So, at this point, right now, I'm really hard put to make a decision. When people come forward and are willing to say how they feel, and I've got, you know, emails that I've gotten, that's a whole different thing than when you just hear people mumble or whatever and nobody comes out, and because I guess they just feel they don't need to, and I understand that. So I would have a hard time voting tonight one way or the other. Is that what we're asking for tonight?
I think so, because I think they've got a deadline, if I'm not mistaken, by that. When is y'all's
deadline
for y'all? August 19th, so 2 weeks from today.
We won't have another council meeting. I think y'all got to get this paperwork in, if I'm not mistaken, by
yes.
that. Is that correct?
As quickly as we can.
So, I know it's going to be a quick way to make... Go ahead, Todd.
I just want to say a couple things that I've been mulling over here, and like Josh, having served with him on the Planning Commission, none of these decisions are easy. But I want to make it clear to the people who came tonight who are in the neighborhood and adjacent, you're in the county. You have no zoning today whatsoever. This property has no zoning today. Annexing it into the city gives you more protection, honestly, than you have today. Or will have tomorrow without it being annexed into the city. A used car lot could go on there in the county tomorrow. A hog farm could go on that lot tomorrow. And you could not do anything about it. However, if we annex into the city and we have regulations and zoning limitations on the development, there are restrictions there. So there are pros and cons to both sides of this. And I've talked to some of you.
It is a very difficult decision. I agree with Ms. Bryant. We desperately need housing in this county, in this city. We hear it every day. You can see it on Facebook. People are looking for apartments. They're looking for places, nice places, to raise their families. And the whole intent behind this kind of development is to give people a leg up, to get them in an income-adjusted, you know, not necessarily high-end housing, but that allows them to save money toward the purchase of a house, ultimately. That's what we should be encouraging. So, you know, it's tough. Having been on planning and looking at zoning in detail in our city, within our city limits, and knowing, you know, if we had started doing things the way we probably should have done them 20 years ago in terms of annexation, and, you know, there are lots of neighborhoods that are outside the city limits in the county today that enjoy city services that ought to be annexed in. You know, if we're going to do a development like this, it ought to be annexed in, because otherwise someone else could come in there without an agreement from the city or annexing into the city and build this same exact development without any kind of restrictions. And people here who are maybe opposed to this would have absolutely no say in it. That's just my advice. And having sat on and looked at planning and zoning maps in this city and this county for the last 4.5-5 years, probably more than anybody else, other than maybe Craig and Josh, who I've forced to look at those maps. You can be in a pickle any time you're in an area where there is no zoning whatsoever. And, you know, sometimes the lesser of the evils is to have those restrictions that protect your property values to some degree versus not having any protections at all. I mean, because you could wind up with nothing there.
Can you afford to pay the cost?
What?
That's it.
What
the cost of this, like the giving them back the credit, can the city afford that? That's the biggest issue. Can you afford it?
Can I interject real quick on that? So, to be honest with you, we can do this project in the county without going into the city at all.
Right.
We can run the city sewer, and it's a wash.
Right.
Because if we're not in the city, it's my saying you don't have to be in the city to get sewer.
Right, you're not in the city, so.
No, ma'am, but Todd was just saying. We're here trying to make and do the right thing, trying to go through the processes the appropriate way. We don't have to do this. We're here trying to do it the right way and to do it the appropriate way so that it can be zoned. Because from a financial standpoint, if we're not in the city, we don't pay the city taxes. We go, it's a wash in that 10-year period. Because it's $120,000 of the city's money. But if we just stay in the county, we just don't pay the $120,000. So it's not, I'm not trying to, but to Mr. Wallace's point, he's right. We're trying to here to do the right things and to try to work with everybody and to try to go through the appropriate processes so that it does protect not only us, but the city as well.
Let me ask, I was confused about the $5 that you're going to add to my sewer bill. So we're already, existing. They already can't take care of what we've got. Is that what I'm understanding? Our sewer issue?
Well, the sewer is 60, 70, 80 years old.
Right.
And
can we add another 38 people on to the sewer?
But we can't units.
Can we?
Our engineer.
We've got to have it fixed, and you're going to add $5 to my bill.
I think our engineer says that they can handle this. Is that correct, Craig?
Yes, sir. From the numbers that they presented to the city, I think it was 3,800 gallons per day max, and that's what our engineer said that they can handle. Any more than that, then that would have to be revisited by our engineer.
I guess I just misunderstood. I thought we were in dire need of some sewer.
I think it's just the timing. You know, you brought that up, and we're talking about going after additional tax revenue in order to fix a long-time issue that we have going on, and then out of the same meeting, now we're talking about a tax concession of sorts. Maybe not the right word.
but we're talking about not bringing in the money that could be used to help with that same issue. So, you know, location aside, feelings aside, that's pretty much the cut and dry of what just happened here. So, I mean, it's kind of, sometimes you have good times, sometimes you have bad, and that's, it seems like the two things seem to go together at this point.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, to me, it's a tough call, just like I was saying. We know that some of our existing infrastructure is resource constrained. We have put off paying the piper for a long, long time. And some of that comes down to nobody wants to raise taxes, nobody wants to increase water fees or sewer fees or any of that kind of stuff. But somewhere, somehow, you just can't put it off forever, or you're going to wind up, and nobody's going to be able to flush a toilet in this town without it backing up in your house.
Yeah, but we're asking for more by putting in this additional line. 30 and even though it's not an ask, it's another line. It's still an ask of the people who pay taxes. So the burden's got to fall somewhere, and it goes back to the taxpayer. So any decision that's made here tonight, ultimately you guys are deciding on our behalf of what you feel like is best for the city moving forward. But we're the ones that have to flip the bill for it. So, you know, vote for this means that potentially we're going to have to pay more than $5 or whatever the sum may come to.
But you're not paying city taxes today because you're in the county, right?
I'm in the county. That doesn't mean that I own the property in the city. Okay.
But I will have to say that I know myself, Mr. Lupa, Mr. Walker, we all pay FEMA.
Yeah.
So 2 years into my mortgage of being on Rhett Boulevard, we got dumped with being in the floodplain, which was like $250 for the first month. Now we're up about thousands of dollars every year that get added on to our homeowner's insurance.
Yep.
By this map here, they're sitting in the floodplain.
So you're also saying you're paying $1,000 a month?
Yes, sir. It started out grandfathered in.
It started out like, you know, $300, and then next thing you know,
$1,000 extra above our homeowner's insurance to pay FEMA.
A year. A year, okay.
But that happened to us 2 years into our mortgage.
Well, when we moved in there, then all of a sudden.
But by these maps, that red line is in the floodplain.
Yes, it is.
So, not to put salt on the, but that's just putting salt on our wound. We've already had to fight this battle. We did not win. You don't win against the federal government. We fought that with Stan. We fought with all that battle. So then now this is being dumped on us for even more concern about the flooding issue. That those pictures were in my yard and my mother's yard. We just sold her home. She passed. Was next door. So we're seeing the runoff continue. We just put rock beside our house because our driveway is washing away from the flooding. So the concern of adding the topography, by being a farm person, water's going to flow down. There's no changing that. So if it flows down out of that hill, where's it going? In my backyard.
That's correct.
I have not filed a FEMA claim to this day, but I've been paying that insurance, and I don't want to start.
And like I said, if there's anything that we can do on
you
the
can't
property,
change
the,
you can't change nature. But nature's going to come down.
Yes,
water's going to come down.
But we there's a hill there, and the water's going to keep coming. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much dirt you pile up or what you do, it's going to make it run more to us.
I'm just offering. I'm just trying to help.
Right. Oh, yeah. I wish you could have been there
I'm just
13 years ago.
No, ma'am.
But, like, these young people, they don't play it on that end of the street. But the end that you're proposing to put on, you're falling into the floodplain.
They may be the building, they may not, but there's some land.
Their land, yeah. But you're still, that's your land. So you're in the flood zone. If only a quarter of a section of my home has to be in that flood zone, I'm in flood zone. My garage doesn't count. I have a shop, a nice shop. It doesn't count. It has to be livable space, but I still pay that because it's in that area.
Which home did you rent on?
133 Rex.
On this, as far as Mr. Phillips?
I am.
To the right.
Yes.
Pardon?
Right.
How many to the right?
How many of us are in the zone in Brett Belfort? It's probably about 40%.
Three, four, five.
only mainly the beginning of the street. Anything from about four houses down of the street is all considered flood zone.
Yep.
Kelly was in it. She was able to get out of it because only her issues.
Oh, I had to build up the soil.
Yeah, she had to build around the house.
My neighbor got out of it. Had it resurveyed, and they were one inch above
flood zone.
Yeah.
None to say. Well. You're in the flood zone.
Okay, council members, y'all have heard comments from the neighbors on Red Boulevard. You've heard Ty, you've heard Landon. There is push to shove for them in order to get this paperwork in for the state. I don't foresee to put this off another week and have a special call meeting. So we're going to vote right now. You're either for them building it or you're not for it.
I just want to say something up. But the people that's come here tonight, they have concerns about it. And I do too. And so I just don't think I can push this on y'all.
I did want to thank y'all for the text.
Thank you. Thank you for responding back.
If you don't agree with me,
that.
I don't know. I don't know how you feel. But I appreciate all of them.
I mean, even on our street is deteriorating tremendously, and I know we're county, so it's not your problem. But we have a culvert on our street that she crosses every day to go to her house that's in bad shape because of the water runoff.
Okay, in order for us to vote, we are going to have a motion and a second. If we don't have it, it's over. But we have a motion and a second, we do have to vote. So what's y'all's input, council members?
I always got something to say. I would probably feel like they do, and I feel I'm a hypocrite if I don't listen to what they had to say. And I still think we need the buildings. I think we need the housing. But I understand, and I understand how I would feel if it's. Mm-hmm. I've even been there, and I had my say about it then, and I don't think I can.
So, like I said, if there's not a motion or a second, it's over. If we get a motion or a second, we have to vote on it.
Well, I want to say, Todd, that I appreciate all of y'all. Because I have been hearing people say people are talking about this, but nobody had come out to me until I talked to Jonathan last night. And then I've got several texts from you all in detail today. And Susan and I talked some before it started, and we're thinking, how would we like, you know, I live back up to a golf course. Well, say somebody bought that golf course tomorrow, it's in the county, they can put whatever they want to there. And, you know, do I think, is that what I want to back up to me? I don't have the flood situation that you have. And I know we need apartments. I know we need rental property for people. I understand that. But when you see this kind of outpouring of people that take their time to come and talk to us and let us know how they feel, and just like what Josh was saying, we're sitting here adding $5 more on to somebody, and then we're also taking on $3,800 gallons per day minimum of, or I guess that's the most, and putting into a weak structure that's already having problems.
And we're definitely already having problems.
So or we wouldn't be looking at this $5, because I don't want to tack nothing on anybody else. I don't want to pay it. I don't want any of my family or any of my, the taxpayers have to pay it.
Right.
Put a burden on them. That's hard. But to know how these people feel and that they've turned out and expressed herself and took the time to do the text and the phone calls, that's an impact to me.
Definitely.
Okay, council members. There's not a motion second, it's over. Anybody else got anything to say?
I wish y'all back that there was somewhere that y'all could put this that wouldn't have the impact.
About that property that's across the road that's been for sale for Dennis Thomas for as long as I lived here, I think. That's a cornfield across Main Street, across from the electric company in that field.
There's 15 acres there, yeah.
Why not there?
We did approach them about that. That was actually my first question. They were not interested in that particular property.
They didn't want to sell it to you.
No, they were hopefully. Was the zoning commercial there? Does anybody know?
If it's the property, it's not inside the city limits.
There may be a little strip of it inside. Yeah.
Okay. We did approach them with that. That was our first property. We approached them about that. That's one of the ways that we were introduced to them.
Okay, so if there's not a motion, we're going to go right along with our agenda. All minds clear, council members. Okay, we're going to proceed on with the agenda.
I'm sorry, I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you
all. Thank you.
Sorry for all your trouble. I know it's been a lot. You've done
all right, comments of council and the mayor. Before I go to the council, I'd like to say something. Sunday afternoon, I had a phone call about how junky our city of Katy's looks. I cannot even go to church without my phone ringing. How junky our city of Katy's looks. So Sunday afternoon, after my family left, making arrangements, I toured the entire city for 2.5 hours. I'm embarrassed. And it's nothing that my public works director has done. It's nothing that Amber, our code enforcement officer, has done. We've got to change something in the ordinance or something for the tall grass, junked up cars, and everything else that's inside the city limits.
That's right.
I'm going to say it one more time, third time's a charm. It's junky looking. Yes, I did break the law Sunday afternoon. Where the road was closed, going to the old Bailey Lumber Company, now it's TJ, PJ Lumber.
Yeah.
It looks terrible. The people on the Cerulean Road is nonstop from calling me. I went out there myself as the mayor, and I had to agree with them.
Even some of your councilmen.
That's correct. It's terrible looking.
Did they leave that when they took away what was bought and they just left it?
They just left it.
Wasn't that part of their responsibility?
I would say so, but now it's tied up in a bankruptcy in Texas.
Oh, gosh.
So do I want to spend taxpayers' money and let our guys go in there and clean it up?
No, indeed.
No, indeed. I would not do that. If we send a private contractor out there to go clean it up, and us pay them and then wait on the bankruptcy money, we'll never get it. Okay? That's it. So we've got to do something, and I think Jack and Alan spoke before a council meeting to try to get something out of this, because I can't take our city of Katy's looking like it is. I cannot take that. Okay? So Jack and Alan, you should kindly tell us what y'all come up with, if you don't mind. And also the tall grass. We've got to do something about that also.
So some of the remedies that we came up with is we figured out the ordinance predates our code enforcement board. Some of the wording in there bypasses the code enforcement board because it wasn't there. We would like to change some of the time constraints. Instead of a 3-day warning, just go ahead and leave it up to the code enforcement officer to make that determination. I don't want to bypass any fairness. Talking to Amber, what she's been doing at this point, particularly on the tall grass, is if she runs across it during the week, she doesn't follow up on it again until after the following weekend. We don't have time to go out and mow their yard or try to get taken care of. We want to add a civil remedy as far as maybe trying to recoup some of our costs. Rather than send them all to district court for criminal fines on these charges, make some of it civil where some of those fines are paid directly to the city. And that way, if we can't get it remedied that way, when we do take it to criminal court, we can say, we have fined these people X amount of times for this amount of money over this time frame, and we've had no response to get it fixed. Some of the bigger issues, we have started, how many lots did y'all mow last month? Three. There was really nothing set in stone on how we were supposed to remedy that. Craig sent one of his guys out there. I charged him $25 an hour for labor and $100 for rental of the mower.
Good job.
Just to keep the city from being out money. But this ordinance is antiquated, and with y'all's permission, we'll go through and make some changes. We're looking at adding civil penalties, eliminating or adjusting the time constraints. In the current city ordinance, they have 72 hours to request a hearing in front of the city council. I don't think that's necessary. We have a code enforcement board now, but we'll give them 3 business days versus 72 hours to account for holidays and weekends. And they can have that hearing in front of the code enforcement board, which is why we have a code enforcement board. If there are any other remedies that you all would like to add, we are more than willing to listen to suggestions.
When people are fined, let's say that there's a yard that's overgrown and they're fined, are they paying these fines and just not mowing their yard? Or they rather pay the fine or just doing nothing?
Both. We have a difficult time sometimes with the county attorney here prosecuting those cases.
We have a lot of trouble.
There's nothing I can do for that,
right,
other than try to add this on. Like I said, the city's never going to make money off of this.
No.
Just trying to recoup some of the time the code enforcement officer has tied up in it, you know. Yeah. She's got 2 hours in, we get a $25 fine, you're still losing money.
Right.
So
we want our city to look good.
The fine, is it to the tenants or to the homeowner?
Typically, it's to the property owner. If you're a landlord and your tenant's supposed to be mowing, I'm going to come find the landlord. And if you want to get your money back from your tenant, that's kind of your business.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure that was either.
Right, because we have some remedies, but it's additional incurrement of calls. Because Wilson's not going to go to take them to court for free. That's not the way it works.
So your criminal prosecution route is free.
Right, and we may use that as a backup, but we may be a little more harsh. You know, if we come in on Tuesday and we told you last week we need your yard mowed, I may wait a week before I send Craig and his guys over there, and I'm going to charge you. We can set the fines, whatever the council desires. I think it has to be between $25 and $250 is what we're restricted to on the civil penalties. So I can charge you $25 on Tuesday. I can come back on Wednesday. If it's not mowed, I can charge you $50. I come back on Thursday, it's not mowed, I can charge you
$100. I don't care what we have to do, but I just want our city of Katy's to look good. And, you know, you got tourists that comes by here, and I'm just very hurt how it looks. It's a reflection on me as the mayor, but we're doing everything that we can. So that's it.
Well, I was approached over at the senior citizens kitchen. A lady told me I had never seen the city look worse. I shared that with you.
Yes.
Yeah. She said, I thought you can't force people to vote.
Right. And I do want to say it's nothing that Amber is doing, and it's nothing that Craig is doing. But we just got to make these changes and make sure it looks a lot better.
How about those people, though, that have been elected to take care of some of that and help us through the courts when we have to do that, like the county attorney? Now, his answer to me was, a couple of years ago when I addressed him, was, you're in the city. I said, I'm in the county and the city. Now, that was his excuse to me for not doing anything. And if we need him, I think, if nothing else, we all need to go sit up in his office and have a fit. That's what he's paid to do.
I do think that we need to be looking at our signage ordinances and reducing a lot of this unnecessary sign clutter that we've got going on. That's where a lot of this comes in. You know, I don't need to know the price of every pack of cigarettes in the liquor store.
And you know what? I read in a book today, and I know we've got this going on inside the city. You're not supposed to post any signs on a utility pole with General Electric whatsoever.
And they put the yard sale signs on there all the time.
And never come back.
And don't take them back.
And don't come back.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Carroll.
We got county property. We got city property. Yes, county property. This happened. We're trying to evict a couple. They were tearing down cars in the front yard. I mean, tearing them down and selling them for junk. couldn't. We got a letter from somebody. I don't know who it was. Somebody from here. I still got it. Telling me to get it cleaned. I couldn't do anything because we were in court trying to get them out. I was stuck in the middle.
Right.
So what do you do?
That's a lot of what we deal with. Because there's usually a catch in there, and it's usually a legal catch. Because even my code enforcement officer, there's only so much she can do. She can't just walk up in somebody's house to do inspections or anything else. You know, so we have to be leery of it. The only thing we're recommending on this ordinance is to make adjustments to give us more leeway to be more effective. It's not going to fix it. It's not going to cure it. It just makes us a little bit better. Code enforcement for city and county, right?
No.
No, it is not.
The county doesn't have any code.
The county needs more cleanup than the city.
Well,
Todd, what about the lumber company? Right. What can we do there if it's in bankruptcy?
How about setting on fire?
It's a company, but the bank has
Yeah, you'll have to take it to the legal grounds. They actually reached out to me with my laundry business to have me quoted there, and I was going to have to send a bill, and then they were going to send it back to the bankrupt company, and I guess that I would have to get paid from the company to file the bankruptcy. So I told them I wasn't interested in it. Nobody's done anything with it since that time. So you're going to have to bring legal action against someone to get paid, because the company that is in charge of it right now said they're not going to pay.
They told us that.
If it did, we would just bid the job out to a private vendor and let them clean it up.
And charge them.
Right, there you go. But if I was confident that we would get that money back, that would be my recommendation, but I'm not.
So what we need to do is have a first reading and a second reading to change the ordinance.
I think we need to make some amendments to the ordinance, and we can come back and present it to the council and let the council determine whether or not that amended ordinance is what they want.
And have a first reading and a second reading.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, so if there's anything else that you all would like to see in the ordinance, you'll just text me or email me. I can tell you right now that that ordinance is in Chapter 92, yes, I believe. And that's what we'll be looking at.
Okay. If you'll go to the, I'm not sure what it's called, Sunrise Farm, used to be the pantry, used to be the Quick Pick. If you come out of that road on the side by the pharmacy, you cannot see how to pull out because their bushes are so big. And then, and Craig has talked to them, correct? And they refuse. Well, they refuse to do anything about them. And that's something that's hindering traffic because you can't see to pull out to the left. You just got to ease on out to be able to get past those bushes.
I'll take care of that.
Well, you get it.
I will take care of that.
Get it.
I will. I will take care of that. I'll take
care of
that. Done. All right. Comments from Craig Council. Craig Stallings.
It's been a very difficult night for us as a council, and I appreciate all these folks coming on both sides of the fence. But I think the decision that we made was the right decision.
Thank you, Craig. Ms. Brenda?
I echo what he said. I really do. I tried to text every one of you back, and thank you for your input. I hope and pray y'all can find somewhere that you can put this.
We want what you're trying to do, just in a different spot.
Definitely. But I do appreciate y'all coming to us too and trying to do this. But like I said, I hope you can find somewhere in the city to do it, or even just in Katy's, Tree County.
Thank you, Brenda. Bob?
I appreciate everybody coming down tonight and showing support for what you believe in. And
that's right.
It really helps us out a lot when we know that what the citizens want. I appreciate you guys for showing interest in Katy's. I mean, like I said, I wish it could be a different property somewhere that you could put that on. I wish he would sell you that property that you look at first.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be a great place. But I just appreciate everybody coming tonight.
Thank you, Bob. Todd Wallace?
I think I probably said my piece. But, you know, I'll just reiterate, make sure you're aware of what the issues are of living in an area that doesn't have zoning versus zoned areas and what potentially could go in there, because it may not be the last time you have to come in front of someone or complain. We appreciate that. I'll reiterate that. I love having feedback. I love having citizens that are engaged. I love having people who are interested in our town and want to build here and invest here. For the property owners, just, you know what your rights are with adjoining property, because it could go south quickly for you. My word warning there. So the best word of advice that I have is that if you don't want anything built there, if you just want to keep that as cornfields, somebody ought to buy it. Yeah. And
you're the only one who farm it.
You're about the only ones that can guarantee that, you know, long term. But yeah.
Thank you, Todd. Mrs. Hendricks?
Well, it's that reading what Craig said, it's been a hard night because Ty's my family. And we have talked in length about this project, and I have asked him for many things, and he has come back and fulfilled anything I've asked of him, and I appreciate that. I know it's a first project for you in this job, and for this company. But to see, not our constituents, because we're in the city and they're in the county, but they're still our fellow Tree Countyans, and to see the turnout and the way they feel about this, and I, in turn, feel the same way had it been me in that particular area. Because that is a flood area. And I know you say, I will try to do everything I can, but can we guarantee anything? I don't think so. So, again, I thank you for all the work y'all done. And I do hope you can find a place here in Cadiz that would work, you know, and come again and try again. We'd love for it to happen. So, on that, you know, again, I apologize for that. But I think we did make the right decision tonight for our city and our county. But also, I did look at the fiscal court last night, and they were talking about our city and county softball tournament.
Yes, August 16th. That's August the 16th. I was going to mention that.
Okay, you have that?
Yes,
okay.
August the 16th. I'll go ahead and tell you. It's August 16th at the complex. It's either 5 or 6 o'clock, but I'll have to check on that.
6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock. Okay. But it is August the 16th, and also the cool down this Saturday from 1 to 3. Don't forget about that, okay?
It's 6 o'clock for the ball.
You are correct. And all proceeds will go to Special Olympics.
Great. That's all I have to say,
Mayor. Thank you, Susan. Susan Bryant?
Oh, well, I probably talked a lot, too. But those of you that sent me a message or whatever, I don't carry my phone with me. So I think I answered one because I did have it, but I don't care. Everybody hollers at me about that. So I appreciate you being here too, and I'm sorry for everybody. It's just not a good situation, and I hate it because I would like to see those buildings here someplace. But anyway, I'm sorry for everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Craig, you got anything? Chief, you got anything?
I recommend somebody on council makes a motion to adjourn.
As always, I always appreciate our city attorney, Alan Wilson, for keeping us in line. Landon, Ty, thank you all for coming. Neighbors, everywhere, Chastity Drive.
You're our neighbor.
Red Boulevard, thank you all for your input. I appreciate it. And also, there will be two pumps installed tomorrow. That's going to cost us around $20,000. Is that correct, Craig? So hopefully we'll get them installed tomorrow also. All right. Thank
you,
everybody.
Those were the ones that was ordered back in April.
Back in April. Took us 3 months to get them in. All right. Thank you, each and every one of them, for coming tonight. I appreciate it. Ed, Tanya, thank you. And
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Susan made it. Brenda second. Thank you all. Appreciate it.